I'd like to welcome everyone to the July 11th, 2022 JCSD1 School Board meeting. The board thanks everyone and welcomes everyone for those who attend attendance as well as those by streaming. Would you please stand with me and join me in saying the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heidi, roll call. We have Jody by phone. And we have a couple of board members absent. Do you have them?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
And we do have a quorum because Jody is on phone. Okay? Thank you. Do we have any public comment tonight? No public comment. Thank you. May I have a motion to accept the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Can I have a second, please?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor of the motion as it is, as the agenda as is presented, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. Opposed? Same sign. Thank you. Okay, we'll go into reports. Mr. Oski, I didn't notice too many reports.
So we're in the month of July, so there are no principal reports at this time. Follow up with them when we start back in August, and then we'll move into director's reports unless there's comments or questions for me out of the principals.
I hope they're all enjoying themselves right now. It's hard to believe that this time next month we'll be rocking and rolling.
4 weeks from now we'll start back up again. Yes, we are.
As you said, what, the World's Fair as far as rodeo goes?
Johnson County Fair, or the World's Fair, some of its references.
That's right.
Just around the corner. So next is a director's report. So any questions? Dennis is here to answer those.
Mr. Zizas, what other pearls of wisdom would you like to give us?
I don't know. Busy year. Looking forward to the upcoming year. We did replace one mechanic. We had one resign, moved on. We did have a few applicants, so we're looking at we hired one. We're looking at some possible bus drivers. I'll start calling those here this week, and for substitutes, and hopefully get some of those in place.
So our routes are covered?
As I know of now, yes.
Well, this is good.
Yes.
This is good. Okay.
No one's told me they weren't. We're not coming back, so I believe we're in good shape. So.
Well, it was good to see so many attended the summer conference.
Yeah.
That was. Now, is that just? Is that, do they drive at this conference? Are they showing things? What is that?
On Monday, they have Monday and Tuesday, they have a mechanics session where the mechanics come in. We talk about different subjects, different items. Monday and Tuesday, there's also a mountain driving class that we send drivers down to. We had two drivers attended on Tuesday, and they'll come back. And then the week before, we had two drivers attend another training class for trainers. So, you know, we'll have four drivers refreshed and ready to mountain train this fall. Wednesday, Thursday is the driver's workshop where there's, you know, speakers and so forth that come in. There is a driving rodeo that they can do, and we've had drivers participate in the past, but nothing this year. The last couple of years we haven't. So it's just more of a skills thing, kind of a fun event thing. So.
The water. I remember one time they were telling us about how to get into a skid if they're.
No, that's up in Montana.
We're
not sending anyone up there yet this year. But yeah, that's a different deal. This is just more of a skills driving where they drive through cones and obstacles and things like that. So.
And what were their total miles this year?
This year we had, total miles was right at 400. About 420-some thousand.
And you said that was down?
We're down a little bit from the previous years. We've been averaging 460 to 480,000.
Okay.
That's district-wide. That's all traffic, I mean, all miles traveled by the district. And then I broke that down within report of each department and miles so far.
Just one last question. What is Camp Postcard?
So Camp Postcard started way back, oh gosh, it was back when, probably 2006 or so. It's a camp put on by the Volunteers of America and the Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
They send about 8 to 12 students down every year. And years ago we started that. We provided a bus because it's a governmental agency. We provided a bus and they paid for the fuel. And it was just working in conjunction with the Sheriff's Department and the police department. So law enforcement agencies around the state come to that. They send students that have leadership qualities that may not have that potential to exercise those leadership qualities. So this is a camp that helps them. And, you know, the 4 or 5 days they're there, I see a huge difference on the students when they come back versus as they go down. And, you know, so we, like I said, we volunteer, or I mean, I do that as my work day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, drive down and back. We take them up on Casper Mountain. And there's districts from all over the state. Sometimes we pull in with Sheridan County, Sheridan 1. We've done Sheridan 3, I think, a long time ago we did. And Sheridan 2, we've done with Sheridan 2 for several years. But they pay for fuel, and we, you know, ride the bus in conjunction with them.
That's great. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Just to try to get everything ready to kick off this fall, we'll be looking at bus routes, reevaluating those, and setting those for next year. So hopefully by the 1st of August, I'll have those out and available. So we'll post those online. I don't see much changing, so we'll add a little bit on some of the routes. You know, we've got some potential students coming in that we may extend the routes a little bit, so. But within the policy and the state statutes. So.
Any new buses this year? Or?
No, we're actually sitting really good on our buses. We probably won't be eligible for buses until probably 2025 or 26.
Okay, because we got, what, three last year?
We've got 30 school buses, 2 Suburbans that are student reimbursed, and those are all within 12 years old, 14 years old, but well within the replacement cycle. Yeah, within the last 4 years, we've replaced over 60% of the buses. We're in good shape for buses.
Well, I appreciate all you do. It's not
thank you. Appreciate
it's not an easy job, and it's 24/7. Yeah. Calls at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, so.
It lets down, but you know, there is travel this time of the year where we do help people, other districts traveling for camps and so mm-hmm. forth. So we've had some travel over the summer, and getting them there and back, so. I appreciate mm-hmm. that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Madam Chair. Dennis, with the, towards the end of the year, mm-hmm. I know we did an adjustment with the fuel budget. Did you feel like, as far as trajectory for the upcoming year with the fuel prices where they're at, you feel like we're in a good place with that? I mean, I know none of us can predict, none of us have a crystal ball. Are you on any in of knowing fuel prices? I know we contract for our fuel. Are you seeing anything?
I haven't seen a projection on the fuel of what we're budgeted for, but if it goes close to what we did, we should be very
should
good.
Be good. Okay, you feel comfortable
you know,
with that?
Fuel prices are still fluctuating up and down a little bit.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
We did with that, though, we did do a fuel management changeover at the fuel depot that we do.
Okay.
And that's been a long process, but it's all up and operational now. We've got all of the county, the city, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, not the county, but the YDOT, the city of Buffalo, and the school district.
Okay.
And then there's like the solid waste and the senior center mm-hmm. that get fuel there also. We've got all those switched over and all functional now. So
okay.
Been quite a process.
That's what the joint service fuel
is. Upgrade on a system that's well over 30 years old.
Okay.
So.
Good.
And, the old base system was still a DOS base system and mm-hmm. it's getting very hard to manage. And now it's a web base, so it's not housed in within the district now, which was a lot of work sometimes with the tech department.
Okay.
Keep that going for us. So.
Just something to keep in the back of our mind.
We at the state meeting we talked about some of the travel, but I think it still is what it's planned to
just
be.
Just to be really intentional with our trips.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you again, Dennis.
Thank you.
Ostrowski?
All right, so any questions for me on my report? And just so everybody knows, I'm going to stand up periodically.
That's okay. Yeah. It was a very thorough report. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So, when do you hope to get that district athletic review committee? When do you, are you going to wait till, I mean,
we're going to get school kicked off and then we'll get that going, so.
And this information we received on a grant today?
Yeah, so we had an extension of our Wyoming Department of Health grant. So that information that I sent you earlier today was that approval of that extension that we applied for, that I applied for last August, somewhere in that neighborhood. So it's just an extension. They offered us an opportunity to extend that contract, and we just out of the blue got additional money, $30,000 for COVID leave or other things that we can use it for. So it's definitely related to public health, but it was kind of exciting.
Who writes that grant? Do you, or?
It was just simply an application that I filled out and had to set some protocol with. So.
Any other questions,
Madam Chair?
Unlike GMS. Or
I did have one question, and maybe it's not a question, but with the parent liaison program and so the Compass Center for Families, that's kind of it'll be their employee. So with the new program we have started with getting parents back in schools this year, or the protocol that we're trying to put in place, how is that going to marry?
Are you talking parent volunteers?
Yeah, parent volunteers, and will it marry with the liaison type thing? Or?
They're kind of a completely separate program.
Okay.
So the parent liaison is established to help parents and give them resources for struggling parents, but also that collaboration with the school counselor, the school principal. So completely separate programs as far as what that looks like.
Okay. So we'll get information out to the parents with the parent.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, we'll get that out.
That's all part
probably
of the
early.
Process that they do.
Okay.
But they got to get somebody on board and go from there. Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to know if maybe
there's
a timeline on that, or
the communication piece will come
informed.
Once we get they get somebody on board, then we'll start that initiation process the 1st of August, introducing parents, or the counselor and this new person. They get some training. We'll push that stuff out to parents, introduce them. Mm-hmm. So it'll begin kind of once we get somebody hired on.
Okay. And then with the district, with the parent volunteer, I'm assuming we're going to get that stuff out to parents.
Yeah,
August,
you know, so
August,
Christy and I are going to start talking about what that looks like. We kind of have that draft.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest. The committee didn't get an opportunity. The policy committee didn't get an opportunity to review everything in detail. But we're going to push it out in a manner that's safe for everybody. And once it does go out, then we'll communicate that with parents.
Okay.
But they honestly, to start it in the fall is still intentional.
Okay.
Great. No, I'm not going to sit here and guarantee you first day of school, but it is on the radar to keep moving forward.
I just like to keep our parents informed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks for answering that.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Oski.
Yep.
Special services?
So, any questions for Val?
Val, I know you have some pearls of wisdom for us. So.
So I'm super excited. There's a lot of cool things that are happening. The one, we have a behavior committee that has gotten together, and we're looking at different training programs and support programs for our district. And we're going to start small, probably send just a few people through training or part of that group through training, just so that we can ensure that it's quality and that it's something that we truly want to see in our district-wide, and then once that starts, then we're going to continue. Behaviors kind of been deemed our area of importance this year, and so a lot of what we'll be doing is to support students, and along with parent liaisons and things like that, to really support our students on that social-emotional level, and we'll hopefully be the interventions that need to take place so that those kiddos don't even end up in our programs. And then There are a couple of new positions that I've asked for just because of the influx of kiddos that moved in towards the end of the year last year. We got through the school year, but I feel like we need to start this school year. So we had, we have a high needs person at that elementary level and then a high needs person at the secondary level. So you'll see we've hired a new teacher because one of our regular ed teachers or regular special ed teachers wanted to move into some of those positions. So they are new positions per se, but they're replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so that's what you see on. And then as we tap into some of those federal funds and some of those reimbursable funds, then we're going to really look at how we can support our students better. We've been running on a pretty skeleton crew, and I feel like some of those things that we need some of those things back. So, but I'll keep you posted. I did look at a new 504. Our 504 program needed some revamping and some training, and so I did look at a bunch of different programs this summer. We've found one. It actually works together with our SPED programs and our Power School and Canvas. The cost was right. Legal compliance was really good, and so we'll implement that as well on that end during the school year. So,
just two things. One is when you're talking about behavior, is that, and I want to really date myself. I mean, for years and years and years, this Buffalo had Crane's Rentals. Is that, do you know anything about that? I mean, that was what they used for their behavior. Is that what you're trying to,
well,
something like that?
Something like that. So
okay.
It's all applied behavior analysis, right? So it's ABA and there's board certified behavior programs. And so all of that, all of those different programs have that basis.
Okay.
And so we'll just find, we're looking at two different ones. One that's more of a kind of a basic behavioral support for everybody district-wide, regular ed, special ed kids. And then there's some that are a little more focused on those kiddos that are really struggling with some of those mental health concerns and some of
it's like Boys Town?
Access. Part of Boys Town. And Boys Town is based on ABA
okay.
teaching. So it all, and that's what we've been working really hard on, is to make sure that all those programs jive and have the same solid basis so that we aren't like contradicting ourselves, if that makes sense. So.
And the other thing is, you know, we throw around 504 all the time. I was wondering maybe at the next board session you could kind of explain what 504 programs are and are not.
Absolutely.
And what the job of the coordinators will be. What will be their responsibility with the 504s?
So the simple version of it is a 504 is access to their education. IEP is more about growth and providing those services to give those students equal access, if that makes sense. So a kiddo might have a disability and just need a special elevator to get to their classes. That's access. No one needs to work with them so that they're growing, they're not behind, they're not below their peers. And so it sometimes is gray, right? So that's why there are those processes. A lot of times, if a student doesn't qualify for special ed, they certainly will still for a 504. And so, and I'm hoping to bring in a trainer just because I think it's been long enough that our district needs some updated training on the different changes in law. And I'm learning along with 504. Hasn't been my area of expertise per se. They go hand in hand, but we're going to bring in some of that training. And then the 504 coordinators are essentially the counselors, right? And they've been doing it, but our processes are, how do I even explain it? There are computer systems that help us track that data better and will make their jobs easier and make sure that we are crossing our T's and dotting our I's, and then all of that information is cloud-based and will follow that student, where right now we're kind of reinventing the wheel.
So I probably will ask you the same question again when we have, maybe in a work session, we have everybody kind of go through exactly what.
Absolutely.
Maybe the little history of the 504, didn't it come about during the, after the Vietnam War? And
absolutely.
So that'd be great.
I can do.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Business office. Connie?
Connie, you can take a deep breath. I know this is your first.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank you for your letter. And again, we formally welcome you to
JCSD1. Yes, thank you.
And,
I'm excited.
I thought the, I'm not speaking for the other trustees, but I thought the board, the work session was very well presented. It was concise. We didn't go down a lot of fluff area. I liked having it just so many pages long. You answered the board's questions to where it was we could all understand, and we appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Do anybody have any questions? Okay.
Rec board.
Mr. Boone, do you have anything from the rec board?
No report tonight. We won't meet in July, so our next meeting will be mid-August.
So you had the financial statement on the board?
If it isn't there, Jack,
yeah, so it's there.
Get it there.
It's
yeah.
there. Jody, do you have any questions to ask?
No.
Thank you. BOCES. This was the last meeting for the director, Julie Cudmore. She's really done a fine job. I think she's been there like 8 years. Next month, Taylor Jones, he's a young man that comes out of Sheridan. He will be the new executive director of BOCES in Gillette. So he's very excited, and it's quite a job to undertake. And like everybody else, I'll say at every meeting, they still cannot find enough employees. So, BOCES, we can go through. Mr. Bellis is not here. Leadership governance.
So, Jan is the chairman of the board. I did send out an earlier today. I know it was late, but if you as a board would like to look over the potential draft document for the BOCES, that will be an action item next month.
Okay. Thank you. Leadership governance. Let me get to it. So I won't call on you.
Don't call on me.
This is much 2.2. It's about policy. I won't read all of it. If you go down to number 2 on 2.2, the board will review and monitor the district's vision, mission, beliefs, and expectations a minimum of once a year. I feel like when we went through our superintendent search, we did a nice job of going through that. As a matter of fact, we asked each candidate to kind of review it. And so we're getting to that time again that we need to go through and review our vision, mission, and beliefs. Mr. Roski, would you like to add anything to that?
No, just as a board of trustees, I mean, we've talked about doing that. What, you know, is it a work session? Do you how do you want to go about taking the time to revisit our mission, vision? Because it should be something that we do as we get ready for accreditation. So.
And we need to also review our leadership governance procedures again, and maybe we can combine those two together. Or is that too much? Can we put those two together?
Sure.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would suggest maybe that one be the retreat type of option. I mean, there's a lot. Especially for me being newer, that still feels like a lot.
If you go down to number 6, the board will vest in the superintendent the authority to establish certain administrative procedures where gaps may exist or where matters are of a daily work nature. Mr. Oski, how do you feel we're doing on that with you?
So establish.
Do you feel like we're supporting you in that area? Going
yeah, on? I do. I still think we're in the, we're still in the, how do you want to say it, understanding roles and responsibilities as we grow with this. I think this is critical to why we do leadership governments. We reflect on where they're at. You know, there's still some times I question whether this is something the board wants to move forward with or I can do, but I think we're definitely getting better at that. So.
It has been quite a year, hasn't it?
There's been a lot of things this year.
If you look over this, does anybody have anything they'd like to add? Okay, 2.3. This is pretty short and sweet. Where the board reserves the right to review administrative procedures. So anything you develop, we need to look at. Is that the way I'm reading that?
Basically, it says right here, reserves the right to. So if you want to look at those, okay. Yes. Again, it just comes down to that time management, everything that we put in place. Do you want an opportunity to review it? But it does specifically say you reserve the right. So you as a board of trustees would tell me how many and what you would want to actually, when we take a look at reviewing administrative procedures. But you do have access to that at any time.
And if you look at number 3 under superintendent, the superintendent may deviate from the administrative procedures and or rules and regulations for good cause or in case of emergency. Deviations will be reported to the board. Has that occurred this year? Any deviations? It's, I don't think it has.
Define deviation. So have there been times that we've had to make decisions when there has been no procedures and necessarily anything? Yes. But as far as deviations from known procedures and policies that have been adopted, no.
And I think whatever you do, you are very good about communicating with the board and telling us.
Yeah, so I'm trying to. I'm not going to say I'm perfect, but I feel like that our communication is getting stronger as we move through that process. And I want to reference reserves the right. I mean, just like today, we talked about administrative procedures. Starting to establish some things that be more effective in the business office of who sees what as we kind of go up through the chain. So if you had to review everything before we implemented it, we'd have a board meeting every day. So it's that trust factor that comes into play. You know, they're always open. We'll show you the procedures that we go through. But those are things in my position, along with the district administration level, that we kind of put things in place on how we want to proceed with things. As long as we stay within the board policy and state and federal guidelines, I think we'll be okay.
Jody, would you like to call a meeting every day?
No, thank you.
Okay, just checking.
No.
Okay. And then we end up with 1.7, board members' development of policies. I think that establishment of the board policy committee has been very helpful. But I want to reiterate, they're not writing policy. They're just going through and reviewing.
So I think the district policy committee has been a great asset, and there's a lot of celebrations with that because you're getting input from your stakeholders as you make decisions as a board of trustees. So that's a great process. This here, about 1.7, is about governance, leadership, and operation policies. So that's you governing your own policies and reviewing those, something in a similar manner to what we're doing here today. So we initiated that back when I first started a year ago. We started revisiting these policies so that you would know what they are. Then it's kind of come to a point where you will evaluate yourself, and then you as a board of trustees will go back and you can revisit these and rewrite these because these are your procedures and policies. So this is something definitely that you as a board of trustees oversee and manage yourself.
I think a year ago, or was it, Jody, was it 2 years ago that we went through and did rewrite? It was just the wording on with Sue Bellish.
Yeah, we did it with Sue Bellish. We went through each and every one of them. We even got into groups, reviewing them and rewording, and yeah. 2 years ago.
2 years ago, okay. Thank you. So that's another that's another board retreat we need to, or maybe we can put all three of them together.
So, and just in talking at a celebration, well, that's, I think that'd be a lot.
I'll get started.
I just got busy that
day. You just packed an 8-hour day and 24 hours worth of information.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we're revisiting your policies. You're looking at them, you're doing eyes on, you're asking questions about what that looks like, kind of establishing points. You know, there might be a shorter work session that would kind of look at our policy manual, and maybe if you want to pick an area to visit, but to do it all at once I don't think would necessarily be a fair statement. So I would celebrate you as a Board of Trustees have gone through all the policies every meeting, so you continue to add to it and get your eyes on it, which is a huge celebration. So kudos to you as a Board of Trustees.
Anything else anybody would like to add? Okay, moving on. Consent agenda. May I have a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented?
I move to accept the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor of the consent agenda as presented signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you, Jody. And since she's in the group tonight, congratulations, Christy. I'm glad you're with us. And okay. We are now into the budget hearing. Yes, I will make a motion, yes. I will. I ask for a motion to recess the regular board meeting and enter into the budget hearing. May I have a motion to do so?
So moved.
May I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, proposed budget.
I don't think you need me, but I might.
So, Jen, as the chairman of the board, do you have any questions of Connie as the business manager and myself with the proposed budget that we presented at the work session last week, or even in reference to what we've adopted as a preliminary budget?
You know, it's just, I just have one question, and it's the question that's always asked. Is the 2022-23 budget sustainable?
Yes. Yes. Very confident that it will be.
Mr. Oski, would you like to add anything?
No, I mean, I haven't changed my viewpoint from that. We still have some things we need to work on. So this is the year of looking at efficiencies. We talk about what leveraging federal grants are, how we need to manage some of that. So I don't want to pretend that we're kicking the can down the road or be unrealistic. We have a budget that is supplemented with our cash carryover at this point in time. However, that is typical. I mean, it's not like we're the only district in the state that's doing something similar to that. So we've got time, so the sky is not falling, but it's not time to just sit back after tonight and say, budget was approved, we're good for another year until we figure it out. We've got to start this process similar to what we're doing with the committees, start looking at what is an actual, we heard this today, what is a want and what's a need. So we're starting to hear some of that terminology, which is super good, but I think it is sustainable when you look at the history of the district. You know, some spending frenzies have happened. I mean, just being transparent, at the end of the year, we've had, you know, $500,000 to $800,000 that have kind of been in that process. This budget that's presented into you has a financial goal for me of solidifying or making our depreciation reserve solid again. But again, those are some contingency funds. If we need to use those, we won't put that money right into depreciation reserve. So I think there's some key components to this budget that are going to allow us to make some good decisions. However, I'll come back to the final statement is we still are going to have to look for efficiencies. We are a district that went from 1,300 students to 1,200 students on the average now. and COVID. We're coming out of a COVID. There was a lot of money spent on technology and other things. And we're really not back to what that new normal is, understanding our financial, I'd say data, history, that consistency over the last couple of years. So it will be a process. But is it achievable? Yes. Do we need to make sure we're putting money towards our resources, which is our employees? The answer is yes. Are fuel costs going up? Are the cost of insurance going up? Are the cost of food going up? Absolutely. We've got to understand all that away across the board. And we're no different than somebody that's on a fixed income. The district has a fixed income, and so now we've got to find a way to make those, find a way to make things happen, okay? And we can't throw professional development out. If you're asking me to be honest, professional development is a huge part of that retention of teachers. When I get excited about our new induction program, you know, we've got to do a lot of things. The parent liaison piece, supporting parents and getting them resources. So there's just a lot of things that need to happen. And I think with time and the support of the board, I appreciate everything that you guys are doing. We will continue to take steps in the right direction.
Connie, our health insurance went up 4%, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the district is going to
absorb that.
Absorb all of the 4%?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There's I just kind of want to say there's, you know, two reasons we do a budget. The first one is it's statutory. We have to. And we always want to make it large enough that we don't go over it. And the other part is really to use it as a tool. And hopefully this year we will use it as a tool. We'll be watching it closely. We'll give the directors and the principals a lot more control over their budget. So that's going to be very helpful. And we did put some cushion in, like you were talking about fuel. We did increase those budget line items for fuel and utilities. So I feel pretty confident. You know, we had over $800,000 left of this year's budget. So we're not spending all of our budget, and I feel pretty confident that we will be able to save, look at things and save money as we go through there. So we've kind of cushioned it a little bit. So.
And I think it's also important for us to always keep in mind those aren't just posters on the wall. Our strategic plan matches our budget. I think that's very important for us to always keep that in the forefront because those just are not posters. So.
Yes, and we always really need to look at the return of investment and on what the money that we spent, what did we get, what did we gain, what did our students gain.
What did
and
our
so,
students gain?
Yeah.
What did our, right.
So we'll be looking at those things over, across the year, too.
Thank you. Any other questions? Jody, do you have any questions for Connie?
No, thank you.
We need to come out. Are we done? Do we come out of the hearing now?
Need a motion to adjourn, please.
I make a motion. I need a motion to adjourn the budget meeting and reconvene into the regular meeting. So, in a second, please.
Second.
All those in favor? Any discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Action items. May I have a motion to accept the 2022-23 budget as presented?
Madam Chair,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Madam Chair, I move that we accept the 23 budget, or we adopt the 23 budget as presented.
Second.
Discussion. Is this one we want to read?
Yeah, the resolution, if you want to read that now, but yeah. Okay.
And just read it in its entirety?
I would go down through
just total appropriations, this in a total.
I will ask Connie, how would you like this written?
Go all the way down to almost to the date of this 11th day of July.
Perfect. Okay. So don't start snoring, anyone. Budget appropriation and levy resolution. Whereas on the 11th day of July, 2022, the budget officer filed with the Board of Trustees of Johnson County School District Number 1 a budget message for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023. And whereas a summary of such budget was entered into the board minutes and a notice of a public hearing on such budget together with said summary was published in the Buffalo Bulletin, a newspaper having a weekly circulation in the county in which the district is located, on the 23rd and 30th day of July. Whereas a public hearing was held concerning such budget on July 11th, 2022, at 7 p.m., at which time all interested parties were given an opportunity to be heard. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Johnson County School District Number 1 that such budget, as revised, if applicable, is hereby adopted and subject to further amendment. It is in effect for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023. Be it further resolved that the following appropriations are made as of and for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023. And that those respective expenditures applicable to each department and fund shall be limited to the amounts hereby appropriated, subject to further amendment. Appropriations: General Fund, $23,065. 23 million. There's extra zeros. Sorry. I got a pair of readers for a penny at the drugstore, and I didn't bring them. Special Revenue Fund, $5,548,855. Major Maintenance, $1,878,047. Bochis, $230,000. Capital Projects, $0. Special Purpose, $100,000. Debt Service, $17,850. Nutrition Services, $804,300. Teacherage, $64,000. Tiny House, $0. Internal Service, $0. Total appropriations, $31,708,052. Be it further resolved that after deducting all available cash and estimated revenues, the following amounts must be raised through general taxation, and that such levies as are required to provide such amounts are hereby authorized as of and for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023. County and local resources, $13,615,000. Additional mills to be levied: Johnson County Recreation, 1 mill at $361,000. Johnson County Bochis, 0.5, half a mill at $180,500. For a total of $541,787. Dated this 11th day of July, 2022. Next time I'll bring my penny readers in.
Any other discussion?
Yeah.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Connie, I didn't catch this, but we posted the 23rd and 30th of June, not
sorry.
July. So let me change that before you guys sign.
Oh, okay.
That sounds well. The publications for June instead of July.
Uh-huh.
A lot of J's.
J's is coming there. Oh, the 23rd and 30th day of June. Okay.
So those are posted in June. So with those corrections, you can vote.
Can we vote, Heidi?
Yes, please.
Okay. Do I need to say with the corrections? Okay.
Yes.
Even though that wasn't part of our motion?
You just moved to approve it, just so you know you're there. So you're fine.
Okay. All those in favor of accepting the 2022-2023 budget, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Thank you, Jody. Budget passed. Connie, I really like this, the resolution. Thank you. It breaks it down for everyone to see. You can go online and look at it. So I do like that. Thank you.
I was going to say, it's very readable. Contrary to the trouble I had trouble reading, it was very readable.
It's small font.
I think it's helpful for people.
Mr. Oski, let's first of
Madam
all.
Madam Chair.
We need to have a, excuse me, I have to have a motion, please. May I have a motion to accept the foreign exchange student request?
So moved.
May I have a second, please? May I have a second, please?
Oh, I second.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Discussion. Mr. Roski.
All right, so we have a request here. Because of outside of policy, if you had an opportunity to read the policy, it was there.
And by the way, that policy is so...
So just on a side note, when we're done with this here tonight, it'd be a request of myself that we take this policy to the policy committee for mm-hmm. review this fall and take a look at this. But according to policy, they do have the right to get permission from the Board of Trustees. So that's what we're here tonight. I mean, there's several things within this. The 30 days, we are, that 30 day is a piece there, but the total numbers and why it goes to the Board of Trustees and a lot of scenarios with the current policy probably need to be revisited. But according to policy, they do have an opportunity to request approval from you as a Board of Trustees. They already have two, correct? At Buffalo High School, this would be the third. For the year and an opportunity for that student to go to BHS.
Okay.
And this would be a junior, correct? Yes.
I apologize. It's a question I probably should have asked before the meeting to gather more information. I'm okay with following policy, obviously, but I just wondered, I'm looking for some clarification on to where the number two came from. Why? How does that affect us? Why did we limit it to two? I don't know. I don't have enough background understanding on that.
So, Madam Chair, Kristen, I'm not sure why the current policy reads you are limited to two per organization. I'm not sure. I mean, at some point in time, maybe there were four or five organizations in the community that provided some type so that not one organization had the market on foreign exchange students, so you could spread out opportunities for kids to come is probably how it was at one point in time. But now it's looking at, I think we should look as a committee at the total number of foreign exchange students. Some are six, some are four. You limit that to what it looks like. Is it eight per district? Is it four per school? But we definitely need the high school principals and the counselors involved in that piece and the organizations that are bringing these foreign exchange students to the table. And be able to make that decision. And then that protocol of, you know, petitioning the superintendent, there needs to be a change. So you need to test at the high school, it needs to be approved by the counselors, it needs to be approved by the high school principal. I think that petition going to the superintendent and coming to the board is kind of getting into the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a better process. So the reality is they know their students, the schools mm-hmm. know what they are capable of providing, and we take it upon their request. So, but I cannot give you the history of why we landed only on two students may come from any single sponsor.
Is there any issue you foresee or some reason why that would be harmful or not as productive except third?
Without the high school or counselor here, the answer is I do not.
Are these students already on their way?
Madam Chairman, may I approach and address this question?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry. My name is Lindsay Buckley. I'm the ICS coordinator.
ICS, can you tell me?
ICS stands for International Cultural Exchange Services.
Okay.
I am the coordinator operating in Johnson County. So, brief rundown is Johnson County is my main territory. There are other organizations that do operate with this foreign exchange program. However, they maintain the bigger areas, so Campbell County, Sheridan County, all around Wyoming. I pretty much maintain Johnson County. So, as to answer your question, if these students are on their way right now, no. The two students that have been placed during the school year, during the spring semester, they have their host family. They've already been accepted by the school and whatnot. Flights are being arranged as we speak, As for the third student, behind me is her host, family, and Jamie and Douglas Mann. We are just waiting on approval from the school board and Mr. Oski as to her enrollment, and then once all of that comes into play, then we will have more information as to when her flight and her arrival gets her. We ask that all students coming enter before 2 weeks before school starts so they can get adjusted with their host family, enrolled in school, attend any sport activity that they are in before the start date of school.
How many do we have in your organization now going to Buffalo High School, right, for fall semester?
Currently, right now, at Buffalo, there are two. Currently, in KC, I have one. The two that will be here are, there's a boy from Italy, and then a girl from Spain. And then, with the potential, a third one also coming from Spain.
Mr. Oski, this is really tough for us because we don't know a lot. I mean, what has the principal said? He's not here.
So he has denied this due to protocol. They're at their two. It's not within the 3 month window of process. So this is again the policy that you have within. They have the right to petition the Board of Trustees to ask for approval for the third one. So.
Is the host family, are they, if we deny this, do they have another student, or they've got one now? How's that all? Okay.
I won't lie, I feel naive and uneducated on to speak to it without knowing. I mean, usually we just follow policy, but if it's an antiquated policy and I don't understand the reason, I mean, whatever reason was behind it beforehand, I really think all are welcome, and that only enriches everyone. So, I mean, if there's another undue hardship or something that happens or that's difficult for the school district, I'm not privy to what that is. If it's just an antiquated policy that we need to revisit, or if it does cause any kind of issue, I'm comfortable bucking the policy and revisiting it. I wish Mr. Ostheimer was here because I do think that's something that should hopefully just be handled in-house within a school as they know their needs.
So, and again, I mean, it's a time frame here. We're mid-July. 3 months is 2 months ago with this process and what we're requesting. We do have a student. We do have a host family. What that looks like, the protocol is two. Okay, there are deadlines, there are time frames, and that whole system, if it's going to be revisited, they feel it's 6 months, 3 months. I mean, but our policy says 3 months. So we're within that window. We have a student that wants to come. All right, the reality is not knowing where their schedule is. I mean, we'd have to set their schedule. They are going to be a junior. They're not going to be a senior. I asked that question. But to answer the details of that, I don't think I can give you those because we would have to be able to sit down with the counselors and say, where would this student be placed as far as the schedule goes, right? What we're asking here today is, can we, with the board's approval, all right, can we accept another student? Because the way the policy currently reads is only two per organization. The other part, and just being transparent, because I'm all about the kids coming, and we got the host families here to support it, is it's not within that three-month window. We got to make the decision here today or it's not going to happen,
right. Because
the student is not going to be able to come with what that process looks like.
I feel like schools are so adaptable. Look at our transient population. A kid shows up from Nebraska and, hello, I'm here, and I don't know what grade for sure, and we adapt and we meet their needs as best we can, and that's
an opportunity
what we do.
For kids. So what I'm asking as a superintendent tonight is you as a board of trustees can make an exception to this rule, but there's a policy that needs to be revisited, I no way would I come in with this in the first week of August. Yeah. It's too late in the season. It had to be for if there was something for the second semester. Yeah. And I'm correct in saying this is for first semester. This is just around the corner. This isn't coming second semester, correct? Okay.
Madam Chair, mm-hmm. If this needs to be revisited later on, that's great. But at the present time, if there really isn't a reason to preclude this third student from coming, then let's go ahead and grant that, and we'll deal with the rest of it down the road.
Let's welcome them and let them enrich us. And
I don't want to be the mean person here, but there's two things. One, we have a policy, and whether it's bad or not, that's our policy.
That's true.
And the second one is the principal has already given an answer, and he is the head of his building, and those are just my two reasons.
It's difficult without him here to ask. Did he give his answer based on? Possibly if we have an antiquated policy that needs revisited and he's following policy, or is it too much? Does it provide a hardship? We have a lot of policies, and I'm sure this isn't maybe the only one that...
Okay. Well, Madam Chair, I mean, that's why they're here, to ask us to grant an exception to that, and we are the body that can do that.
Okay.
So...
Are we talking one or two?
One.
Only one. Okay.
Only one.
I had in my head it was two. So we would have a total of three from your organization.
Yes, ma'am.
Just to deny one young lady, she's probably got her bags
Spain,
back ready
said,
to go.
Yes.
Good food, bring treatment.
So the question I asked of Lindsay also is, the one thing that's a factor for me is obviously there's an approval process for them. But can she speak English? Is she is she fluent enough to be successful in school? And she reassured me that they've already went through that assessment piece.
Yes, all of our students that are required to take an LTIS test and score very highly, very high on that, to be able to be on this program.
I don't want to buck policy because time and time again we say, well, it's policy and that's the answer, but I don't want to ignore common sense either if policy's not meeting the need.
And I want you to understand, as a superintendent, your policy says the board, with the board exception.
Yeah.
So
your
policy, they are following the chain of command. That's why I brought it to you, because your policy says with board approval. So that's what their request is tonight. When Lindsay brought it to me, she has the right to put to bring it to the board for a decision. So,
and you think the only reason the principal did not,
I don't want to get into details, and if we're going to start talking about what a student can and can't do, then I'm going to go into FERBA and I'm going to go into executive session.
I got you.
And I don't think that's fair. We have a student that's applied, that's met all the qualifications. According to my understanding, we are under the we passed the window, the deadline window, and we're also to the two max of two. Those are the things that we're focusing on here today. Before we get into those other details,
I was just wondering. All I was asking was he following just the policy because of what
I'm
the
assuming
policy
so.
Is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
That's all I was asking.
Yep.
Jody, do you have anything you'd like to add or question?
It's difficult to read here, so I have a couple questions.
Are
you guys saying that Mr. Oppenheimer told them no?
Yes.
Yes,
he told them no.
Okay. How many exchange students do we have coming in the fall?
Two.
And that's it? Just the two?
Right, and this
would
be three.
From my understanding, from this organization, two.
From any other organization?
How did we have four last year then? Were they for different organizations? Is
yes.
that how that works?
Different, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's a good question. Do we have any other foreign exchange students coming? Do you know, Ms. Trosky?
Do not.
That's okay.
And a policy states only two per organization, is that right?
Right.
Okay. And nobody has any idea what the purpose of it for Mr. Ottinger saying no to it.
No.
Just that it was...
Probably following policy.
He was following policy is what he was doing.
Okay.
And if you've, the policy is very... And I want to go on record, too, saying I'm not against the young lady. I'm truly not. It's just that my hang-up is...
And it that we generally follow policy.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. It says... Clearly, in policy, unless the school board approval is granted.
So we can still follow policy and grant.
And grant.
Okay. I'm good. Jody, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Madam Chair, I move to close this debate.
I think we're waiting on Mr. Oskin for just, or Ms. Goskin for just one second.
On our cheat sheet.
Yeah.
Fancy words from
sure did.
You're finding out how many we have.
I doubt I'm gonna
okay, that's okay.
That's okay.
It's okay. I think we're ready. He's just waiting to see. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Drosky, we're ready to move forward so that we can. All those in favor of accepting the foreign exchange student request, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passed.
Thank you.
And please understand the whole thing is to have one word policy. So, but what you read to me in there helped me. Thank you.
Thank you for welcoming the students to our school. That's huge.
Have you been parents before, two foreign exchange students?
No, this will be our first one.
We have four kids of our own. One's in the military, one's back in Texas, and we have two teenagers at home that we own school.
Good.
So.
That's very exciting. Thank you.
Yeah, it's something.
We appreciate it.
Excited.
Cool.
All right. Other business from the board. Do we have anything?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Exciting things are happening with the training that Jan and I have been taking on leadership and governance. Different things, meeting once a month, sometime after a board meeting, and super exciting. I was excited to walk in tonight to see our little cheat sheet that was recommended to us through part of our training to kind of, one thing that I feel like Jen and I have been working really hard on is keeping our board meetings, conducting business, and being efficient. And I'm excited to say that I feel like we're moving forward. This little parliamentary procedure guide is something that I would like every board member to take a good look at. We all have a strong voice. We try to follow by the Robert's rules. That's how we like to kind of govern, and it works well. And I feel that we're moving in a totally positive direction by working on that, giving us some awesome guidance. So thank you to Charles and Heidi for getting these done. These are nice. We'll have them placed out at every board meeting.
So
you'll have the opportunity to refer to it at every meeting. And thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to be able to take this training and be more efficient. I appreciate it.
We appreciate Kevin Mitchell and Brian Farmer giving his time and Mr. Oski getting it set up with Heidi's help. We appreciate that a lot. We're continuing on. From the board, I'm also, Mr. Z, I did not ask you anything about, this is your busiest time of the year. So can you kind of give us a little
update. It's okay being invisible.
No. No, because this is your busy, busy time of the year, and we'd like to hear how it's going. And the fields look good. Been by them?
The fields look amazing.
The schools look great.
We've changed, with Matt and his knowledge, have changed our procedure of fertilizer. And our main focus right now is just the athletic field, the game field. And we're basically using it as a guinea pig. So that way when we get to KC, we make that one pop, both of them. But if we're going to make a mistake, we're going to do it in a big light, right? So, I mean, that's the way we looked at it. We're going to, and it's worked, and it looks amazing. The gym floors, there was a lot of work put into those gym floors. They are complete. There's about the first volleyball camp was on tonight. We're in the process of getting caught up, fully staffed now, which I appreciate that. We're just in the process of catching up over the 4 months right now. Still in the process of the evaluation of all the buildings and a lot of data. There's going to be a lot. They had a team of 8 people scouring the buildings going through. So they'll be back. They have some outbuildings. They're going to do Dennis's bus buildings and other some outbuildings they didn't get to yet. So they'll be back. They're still working on collecting data for the KC tests that were done. I was hoping to hear some more information today on the boiler and where we are with that. There's still a lot more tests that we're trying to do or get done so we can pinpoint the actual problem. We know the boilers are a problem, but downstream, what else is the problem? There's a lot of steps in that system. And if we can get the water from the boiler, we put new boilers in, we're going to run into problems farther down the line somewhere. So we have to pinpoint all these problems. The flood room, we're waiting on co-base, and that room will be back to normal. I talked to Mr. Evans today, and he's very pleased with the contractor. I go down there and do the work, and excited to have that back. So it's been all hands on deck.
Any questions, Paul?
Madam Chair, from me personally, I drive by Clear Creek every single day and half, and this is the best it's looked in probably 4 years. So great job to you and your team. It looks, not that the other schools don't look amazing, but Clear Creek looks stellar. Very nice job.
In my 19 years, I've never seen it that green.
It looks beautiful.
And I made a comment to Mr. Overton that put all the time and effort. When you come in from the hill off to Smith or down the alley, when that was growing, it looked like a floating piece of carpet out there. It just popped.
Mrs. Gish's garden, she was one of my favorite teachers when I was in middle school, and what a beautiful tribute. It looks very nice.
Thank you. I'll make sure to pass it along.
I saw them doing some repair at Metal Arc on the playground. What was that?
We had a slide that had UV had gotten to it, and it cracked, so we replaced that slide.
So it wasn't anything on the grounds? That's okay.
And we may be posting some signs on there for bicycles. I've had to go talk to a few kids. The bikes don't scare me. It's the kickstand.
Okay.
Is what scares me.
So now you're kind of the guy yelling, get off my lawn, or get off my plane.
Yeah, that and the dogs.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what it is with dogs and people. We have signs. I just don't know if we need to get bigger signs so they can read them, but...
It applies to you and not me.
Yeah, the dogs out there on the tracks and all that are just... But yeah, the new employee lives right across the street from Metal Arc. So he's texting me, hey, this person's out here. Hey, this is going on. So it's okay.
This is like for fall. Do we make the organizations that use our fields, do they have to sign any kind of a waiver agreement?
Not that I'm aware of. I know with the Johns County Soccer is just a communication thing. From my understanding, it's been an ongoing kind of like signed deal. I've never seen any documentation, never found
not so much maybe because we've been with them forever, but I've like flag football, lacrosse, things like that use Grace Field.
There's a facility use form that they fill out.
Okay, good.
Matter of fact, I have a facility use form on my desk right now for a lacrosse clinic. It'll be Wednesday and Saturday. So
good.
And they're going to clean up and have the facilities open and all that. So there's certain ones that they do at the buildings, events that happen. That the athletic directors do facility usage forms that I don't see. We had Cycle America in Thursday and Friday, and they arranged that all through Ryan. Ryan dealt with me. We got doors scheduled, so they get in new showers and all that. We'll have to clean that up, I think, as a district. I didn't know they were bringing food trucks in. They plugged in extension cords everywhere. There was power and blue breakers everywhere. Finally, at 1 o'clock Friday afternoon, I got all the controls back up for the HVAC because they blew the breaker for that outlet that was plugged in the MDF room. Because they run around and that one's blowing. Is that one? Oh, I got power and then they blow it. So that's just something I'd like to see cleaned up as a district.
Okay.
If you're going to have food trucks, bring a generator. Mm-hmm. It's just little things, but it caused 2 hours of pandemonium on me running around. I've got no control. Burkcroft Todd. And 200 foot of extension cord on it.
I think that is, just for common sense, for liability, for all that. We need to have, especially for field usage. A kid gets hurt, blows a knee or something like that.
Right.
We need to have that.
I know with the lacrosse clinic that's coming up, we're doing a insurance waiver.
Okay, good.
Because I'm actually part of my wife's on the board, I'm not, just because I don't want any conflict. And Mr. Whipple is also the chairman of the board for that. It has been established, so he's making sure that the paperwork's in. And just another thing, if anyone does go to the schools, we are working on a parking lot, so I just want to push it out to public, be conscious of them working on parking lots.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from the board? Jody?
No.
Okay, thank you. The August board meeting will be August 9th, excuse me. Are you sure? You said 8th?
Yeah. The 3rd is the work session, and then the 8th is the...
Oh, because both of mine are wrong. I have the 4th and the 9th. Yeah.
You miss them, those days.
No, thank you.
We'll miss you.
So the work session will be August the 3rd at 5:15. And then the board meeting will be August the 8th at 6 o'clock. Mr. Oski, District... legal services discussion.
Okay, so I submitted some documentation to you as a board of trustees. Ben is now going to be officially become a judge.
That's kind of cool.
This week, so that's pretty cool. So he did present to you as a board of trustees that his legal firm would continue with the district representing that. So that's been kind of a change of plan. So this is getting direction from you. Nothing to vote on today, but hear your discussion. Do we want to see if there's other legal firms to represent? It doesn't mean with or without legal representation. Sometimes we do go out for services every 3 to 5 years. I know Kirvin has been a part of the board, so I'm just needing a little direction from you as a board of trustees.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Charles, you said we are represented. What do you have how long? What's the timeline? What does that look like? Do we have time to kind of do our due diligence and maybe search around?
Everybody's there, and if you even wanted to go out for an RFP and see if there's other people that are interested, then you do an interview of that. But you know, we would still use Tracy Copenhaver as a school boards association lawyer. He's always available to us. You know, Curvin and Curvin is still going to be available to us. So at one point in time, I didn't think we were going to have access to them, but now we do.
Okay.
So I know we've talked about this, so I'm just kind of needing your guidance. So there's really no time frame because there's always going to be legal opportunities or representation. But if you as a board of trustees, because that's who this really will represent, mm-hmm. is you as a board of trustees, if you want to see if there are, if you feel comfortable staying with Curvin and Curvin, that's totally up to you guys.
I guess I would like to see what's out there. It's I just think it'd be a good time just to look around.
Madam Chair,
mm-hmm.
I think one important question will be, and I'm good with looking out there too, is education law. That we'll need someone that really kind of has a handle or maybe a bit of an understanding on what education law looks like. I'm game for looking around as well.
You know, and the next work session, if you want somebody from Curvin and Curvin to come in and
see, I think that would be great.
See what they can offer, and then you can make that decision. But this isn't something that needs to happen overnight.
Okay.
Madam
Chair. I really appreciate that they've taken such great care of us and that they're not going to leave us in a lurch, that they're going to continue to cover us as they're going through changes. I also think it's a perfect time to, I think it would be prudent with taxpayer dollars to go the RFP process too and just see what all of our options are and weigh those and maybe also to discuss what our needs are. I know personally, I feel we need more legal presence sometimes, especially anytime we're an executive, anytime it's personnel. I realize that that is extremely expensive. However, our lawsuits are also extremely expensive. And, you know, the term retroactive lawyer type stuff, it came into play one time. I would like to prevent some things and be on the front side of it sometimes as well. And that might be money well spent or at least worth a discussion of what do we want for legal representation? What do we expect? What are our needs? And we may go through an entire FRP deal and Curvin's are still just exactly what we need. You don't know until you look a little bit and discuss what your needs are and what's out there.
So if you don't mind, I'll ask Dennis to come to the next work session and represent that, and we can talk about that a little bit more in that. But as far as my position as a superintendent, I know sometimes we joke that Charles has a plan A, B, and C. We're not lawyerless. Legal representation is available for the district, whether it's through continues through Curvin or from the School Boards Association.
So you'll have at the work session or the board meeting?
Well, if you want to hear from Dennis at the work session, so you
yes.
have an idea. And it sounds like we nailed down Val to talk about 504s. So
that doesn't have to be long. I mean,
an
hour and a half is fine.
Yeah, there you go.
Happy summer.
So, anyway, there's two agenda items that we can address. Thanks.
Okay. Any other discussion? Jody, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I appreciate everybody being here tonight. Summer is a busy time. I thank everybody for taking time out of your busy schedules to be here. I didn't even have to say anything about cell phones today, so that was really nice. So again, any other discussion? May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
I won't even ask for discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
This meeting is adjourned.